This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على حبيبي على حبيب الله سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون وعن سفيان بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا بعدك وفي رواية غيرك فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. Most respected and noble ulama ikram, hufaz of the Quran Kareem, beloved elders, friends in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's commence the gathering with salawat and durood upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, fortunate are those whom Allah Azza wa Jal has used for the protection of His deen, and specifically for the protection of His kalam. In context, this ummah has many salient features and specialities, and one of those with which Allah Azza wa Jal has praised them, even in the previous scriptures, أَنَاجِيلُهُمْ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ, that the protection of the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal will be within the hearts of this ummah. Allah Ta'ala had decreed that this ummah's hearts will be the treasure troves, the protectors of His kalam. Unlike in previous nations, Allah Ta'ala had handed the responsibility of the protection of His revealed word to the followers of the various Nabis, to the adherents of those deens. But man is prone to corruption, to weaknesses, besides Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And so they would compromise, as Allah Ta'ala says time and again, اشتروا به ثمنا قليلا, for the mere paltry gain of this world. They were prepared to go to the extent of changing the word or the injunctions of Allah Ta'ala. But knowing that our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the final and last Nabi to come, Allah Azza wa Jal had taken the responsibility of the protection of His word upon Himself. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And so fortunate are those who commit the Qur'an Azim to memory and are used by Allah Azza wa Jal as the protectors of His word. And how more fortunate are those whom Allah Ta'ala utilizes to be the means of ensuring others commit the kalam of Allah Ta'ala to memory. Can we fathom the fact? Is it humanly possible for a person to memorize 6,236 verses, more than that 77,439 words, and even more amazing, in excess of 323,000 letters, to commit it in its entirety to memory? And many an instances would be by those who do not understand the language, the Arabic language. This is only possible when Allah Ta'ala makes it and facilitates its means. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. In the instance of Sayyidina Hafiz Abdul Rahman, rahimahullah ta'ala, is one of those luminaries whom Allah Ta'ala had utilized at a time in the late 1950s, going to the early 1960s, where there were a very minimal number of huffaz, literally could be counted on the fingers, and the masajid in and around the entire region and province would have to bring huffaz to some of the major centers all the way from Cape Town. Allah Ta'ala had utilized Hafiz Abdul Rahman rahimahullah and some of those ulama who would come, Imam Ismail from Salt River, number of great mashayikh who had served Quran in those parts of the world. Allah Ta'ala uses our respected beloved Ustad Hafiz Rahman rahimahullah ta'ala as the means of bringing alive the various masajid in the entire region, with Taraweeh Salah in which the entire Quran Kareem was recited. Another amazing, outstanding feat of our beloved Ustad Hafiz Abdurrahman Rahimahullah was his unique capability of seeing the nature of a person and accordingly prompting and encouraging, so much so that those who were considered extremely weak and maybe even write-offs, Hazrat had made an effort on them, many of them, that they became amongst the best huffaz and best readers in the class. So Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. Without saying anything further, I call upon one of Hazrat's outstanding students, our respected senior colleague, Hazrat Mufti Maulana Taha Karan Sahib Hafidhahullah, senior Mufti of the MJC in Cape Town, also heading up one of the institutions. We'll hear tonight later on from other senior students, Hazrat Mona Abdul Hamid Sahib, Hazrat Mona Yunus Daya, Mona Hassan Dokrat Sahib, Hafidhahumullah Ta'ala. The sheer name of the students of Hazrat tells us the level of khidmah that he had rendered to the Muslim community. So Mona Taha had come at a very young age, in around 1982, together with his brother Hafiz Abdul Salam, we've heard earlier, and a group, number of others from Cape Town. An entire jamaat was prepared so that the same place for me ulama would have come for Taraweeh to render service. He was returning the favor and sending them back as huffaz to serve in that part of the world. I know personally that when Maulana went onwards with his studies, completed in Darul Ulum Dioband, and Maulana Taha Sahib had, mashallah, attained the first position in Dora Hadith, and Hazrat had received his report with his marks in the final year in Dora Hadith, then with such joy Hazrat would look at it and would show it, understanding the responsibility that is being passed on and the honor of having been the means of passing it on to that part of the country. We request Maulana Taha to render his advices, inshallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا يوافي نعمه ويدافع نقمه ويكافئ مزيده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد رسول الله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم وتحنن على عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعلينا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تعالى هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وقال عز وجل إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إن الله يرفع بهذا الكتاب أقواما ويضع به آخرين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين. From the beginning of time, Allah Ta'ala had a system in place. And in order to understand the contribution of our noble Ustad Rahimahullah, it would be helpful to understand the context in which his services were rendered. These services were rendered in the cause of something that stretches from the dawn of time and continues up to the present moment. Mankind was created for a certain purpose. In order to keep him reminded of his purpose, Allah Ta'ala would send Anbiya, the last of whom was our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His mission being the last, Allah Ta'ala made it such that his legacy would be propagated, perpetuated by those that come after him in a continuous, uninterrupted line of succession which continues up to the present day and will continue inshallah up to the end of time. Deen spreads to various different parts of the world at the time of Allah Ta'ala's choosing. And then for the perpetuation of deen within those regions, Allah Ta'ala selects certain persons. To describe for this moment the entire chain of transmission from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam down to us right now would be tedious and time consuming, and we do not have much of that. The important point is that wherever it had been ordained, the deen will survive, we find that line of transmission continues. When the time came for those of my generation to leave home and become recipients of that particular tradition, the Cape had undergone a bit of a change. Now the Cape was the cradle of Islam in South Africa. And for the first 200 years of its history, that's where Islam was restricted. And that is an interesting story that can be perhaps told at another time. But a change had come about. Things were no longer the same. There had been a generation or two before that, a vibrant tradition of ilm and hifz in the Cape, to the extent that the huffaz from the Cape used to come to other parts of the country to lead the Taraweeh Salam, and I had made reference to some of that. By the time that we grew up, it was no longer the same. And then, it is such that those who make an effort for this deen, these are the ones whom Allah Ta'ala bless. Allah Ta'ala blesses with it. And the flourishing that will take place in terms of the learning and teaching of deen is going to be present in an area where Allah Ta'ala places it on account of the efforts made for it. So effort was being made for it here. We had to leave our home from that part of the world, come here. And there was the various regions, this manner of geographical spreading that we find, this has happened from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already. If we look at the way in which Quran was taught, if you look at the way in which hadith was transmitted from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you speak about hadith, one name comes to mind, one kitab comes to mind, Imam Bukhari. Where is he? He is the son of Zoroastrian forefathers in the middle of the steppes of Central Asia. How did it come up to there? Because from Medina Munawwara hadith spread into Sham, into Iraq, eventually into Mawara al-Nahr, into Central Asia. So where effort was made on it, that's how it will spread from there. And that same legacy was passed down to us as well. And eventually the time comes, someone like Imam Bukhari would come back to Baghdad to bring that legacy back to Baghdad again. Someone like Imam Bukhari would come back to Medina Munawwara in the Masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had been transmitting his legacy. Now someone will come from somewhere else and transmit that same legacy there. In this manner, the various geographical regions cooperated with one another according to Allah Ta'ala's plan. So we came many, many years ago now and became students of our teacher, Hazrat Abdul Rahman Rahmatullahi Alayhi. After his passing, it's only then that one starts realizing who he was. Many have spoken about it. Personally, I've tried to do what the ulama in previous years have done, in previous centuries have done. Over the years, if there had been a great person, his students thereafter would write his biography. Sometimes write it in prose, sometimes write it in poetry. Try to express some of it in a qasida, in a poem in Arabic that speaks about our impressions and what we learned from him, and I would like to present some of that to you today. The entire qasida is no longer with me, as much of it as I can remember. Inshallah, I would like to read in front of him and explain what we mean by that. So it starts off in the following way, that normally the poet in the desert will start off by addressing some notional person that he's seeing standing in the desert, and someone arrives past him and says, stop, I've got something to tell you. I want to unburden my soul. I want to share with you something great about a person who I knew. Ya raqiban qif wa khudh anni maqala thana. Ala halifi kitab Allahi qutb al-duna. Oh, you rider passing me now. Just stand still for a moment. Listen to what I've got to say. I want to tell you about a person who was one who lived his life in allegiance with the Quran. One who, in our impression, was the virtual qutb and the pole axis of this world. There are many great ulama, there are many great salihin, many great awliya. It was our good fortune to have met this particular wali of Allah Ta'ala. And it's about him I say to this notional person that, listen to me for a moment. وَحَافِظٍ قَدْ أَحَاطَ النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمُ عِلْمًا بِحُبِّ الْقُرْآنِ فِيهِ حَتَّى الْمَنَى. He was a hafiz of the Qur'an that everyone knew the extent to which he loved the Qur'an till the very day that he passed away. It's something that suffused his entire life. Maulana Burhan is sitting in front of me now, but he will say that in his last days when Hafiz Abu Rahmatullah Alayhi would become a bit ill or something like that, the family would call him, just come read some Quran. Just come read some Quran, alhamdulillah, whatever problem there was would go away from him. I heard personally, as many others would have, that he would say that Quran mere liye khuraak ban gaya. It's practically my food. I don't need food to subsist on. That has become my food. Hafidhin qad ahata an-nasu kulluhum. Just about everyone knew he is a man who verily lives for the Quran. Now throughout the ages there have been people like this. It is through them that deen is preserved. Bimithli hadha al-imam yastadhi'u al-wara. Bimithlihi la nartabu. Tahya ummatuna. It is on account of leaders such as this that we are able to draw the light of inspiration. It's on account of people such as this that this ummah is still alive and kicking today. There are people who keep it alive. It was our good fortune to have known such persons. فرحمة الله رب العالمين عليه في العشي وفي البكور دون استثناء. Every morning, every evening, may Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and Allah Ta'ala's mercy, Allah Ta'ala's ridwan, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure be upon him. How much can we do to repay him? May morning and evening Allah Ta'ala send that rahmah and ridwan upon him. قد كان في مبدأ الحياة مشتغلا بكسب رزق حلال مثل فتيتنا. In the beginning of his life, in his youth, like many of us, he was also earning his living, and we had heard from him that what happened, a stage came when his father told him or wrote to him something of this kind. فَقَالَ وَالِدُهُ التَّقِيُّ أَبْشِرْ فَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا رِزْقُهَا عَلَى رَبِّنَا. His father informed him, he said, my son, know one thing, مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Your risk, you're earning it there. And everyone is bound to earn his risk, most certainly. But some need to devote themselves to the teaching of this deen here. Do not worry, Allah will see to your risk. وَاللَّهِ مَا سَمِعَ الْأُسْتَاذُ قَوْلَتَهُ إِلَّا وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ أَعْرَاضِ دَارِ الْفَنَى. He barely heard his father's words that he turned away from this dunya, and the rest of his life, we know what the rest of his life was. The fruits of that rest of his life are sitting here. It's all of us that are sitting here today. His life was spent in that manner that he created this majma' here. It created so many places that have come about from the nur of Quran, the nur of the sunnah of Rasulullah, the nur of this deen is shining forth. There are a few more lines that I have forgotten, I cannot recall, but one of them speaks about this, that I believe it was the late Hakim Akhtar, rahmatullahi alayhi, that asked Mawlana rahmatullahi alayhi, that I've said, how many huffaz have completed with you? And his answer was something that impressed Hakim Sahib to no end. He had some very, very laudatory words to say about it. He would say that, I don't know. When I go to my qabr, only then I will know. Up to about two hours ago, I understood these words in a particular way. I understood that maybe he never kept track of it. Maybe he just never, made note of how many they are. Just about two hours ago, I came to see a list that Hafiz Abu Rahmatullah Ali had kept from the year 1960 up to 1991. Over 31 years, every student that had completed Hifz, his name and the date that he completed Hifz, all of that recorded. So when he had it recorded with such detail, why did he say he doesn't know? This was his ikhlas. These are the ones that completed, but only Allah will know, and only in my qabr will I know how much of that had been accepted by Allah Ta'ala. It's not a matter of statistics. It's not a matter of I've got so many, those got so many. No, it's a matter of till the end, I don't know whether my deeds have been accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Why would he keep that list though? He would keep a list of that nature because I believe that everyone in that list was mentioned in his du'as at some time or the other. Because it was even another list. Together with it, there was another list of those that started and did not complete, might have gone to complete somewhere else. Even a list of that was kept. The side of him that we saw was in the madrasa. The side of him that we got to see was in the madrasa. We never got to see the private side of his life, where early in the morning, at the hours of tahajjud, he would raise his hand and make du'a for each of us. And those of us that can tell about it can say that you can see the traces of his influence in your life in ways that you can and could not even have imagined. You can and could not even have imagined. He's intervening in your life through his du'as, what that he had done back then, in even more ways than that as well. In so many different ways has he impacted upon the lives of us sitting here and so many other people, that it becomes very difficult to enumerate each and every instance. One thing that we definitely know, one thing that stands out in that particular history, was Ramadan, what falls out. يا روعة المنظر البهي في رمضان في رحاب القرآن طاب منزلنا. What a wonderful atmosphere was it not in Ramadan, where in the company of the Quran we spend that entire day. It wasn't something, you know, there are certain people, there are two things that we have in the zine of ours, and in general life we have persons, and then we have institutions, human persons, and then just abstract institutions. And institutions fulfill certain functions, and humans fulfill certain functions. In Islam, we do not separate those two from one another. Therefore, the Quran in itself is an institution, it's not a human. It's an institution that could be there, but the Quran would not be given to mankind except with a living exemplar, kana khuluquhu al-Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam together came with the Quran. It's not just the Quran. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. The Quran comes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to come with it to show us what it was all about. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, when the time came for writing the masahif would be written to preserve the Quran. A mushaf would be sent to each of the main cities. Not just the mushaf, together with that, a qari would go to teach the Quran. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, in his time, had to contend with the fitna of the Khawarij. The Khawarij says, the Quran is the judge between us. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Only Allah can judge. So Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib says, okay, fine, the Quran will be the judge. Open the Quran, speak to the Quran. Quran, you judge. You know, Quran doesn't judge. The Quran has to be exemplified by people who live it. And those are the people who live with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who receive from him, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Receive from him in triple, all three of the functions of Nubuwa. He read to them the Quran, he purified their souls, and then he taught them what the Quran and the Sunnah was, so they can transmit it to others afterwards. If that link is broken, if it's just the institution, you take the Quran alone, then what do we find? We find perverted interpretations of the Quran. So the human element, the institutional element, have to go together. So here, Ramadan, everywhere, alhamdulillah, Ramadan, the Quran is alive. But we know what our experience was. That experience was not just, you know, a school, a madrasa with a certain... It was one person who by the sheer dint of his personality created that ambience in which the Quran was recited. يأتي صباحا فيسمع التلاوة من جماعة الحافظين ما به من ونا. He would come early in the morning. And we got to see Hafiz Ahmad in his 60s, 70s. Others would know even better. But he would come early in the morning. He comes and listens to everyone who's going to go out to read Tarawih. And he listens to everyone, 1 1/4 Jews. The entire day he spent, he doesn't go home in between. And he was quite old at that time already. In his 70s. يقضي النهار كذا. The entire day he spends like that. Then comes Asr time. After Asr to Maghrib is Sabak. The normal students still come read Sabak. Not a break in between practically. All the Hufadh have read. Now comes the little children. They come read their Sabak. After Maghrib he still sits with further students. And then ثم يصلي التراويح قائما لا قعودا دون أي انحناء. Then he reads Tarawih. He would stand in 20 rakat of Tarawih. Today, people of 30, 40 and 50 are sitting on chairs. He was 70 and 80 and he would stand in his Tarawih. That's after spending the entire day. This was a person, the Quran was the dynamo, was the energy within him. And then it wasn't over. Then the rest of us that went out for Tarawih have to come back. He doesn't go home. Now he takes a report what had happened. What happened? How did your Tarawih go? How many mistakes this one made? How many that one made? And sometimes you would catch some hiding there also if something went wrong. Only after that he goes home. Only after that he goes home. How does this happen? Where does the energy come from? This energy is generated by that love of Quran which Allah had given him, and that parts of it has been imparted to all of his students. فَلَا نَلُومُ الَّذِي يَقُولُ أَحْسَنَ مَا نَرَاهُ فِي رَمَضَانَ مَا نَرَاهُ هُنَا. We can't blame anyone if he says, I've never seen a better Ramadan than what I've seen here. In Cape Town at that time there were many Hufaz, but the practice of reading the Khatm in the Quran was not there. Johannesburg and Durban would bring the Hufaz from Cape Town The Hufaz of Cape, they would make the khatm here, the khatm wouldn't be made back home. When the time came by the middle 80s that we started going back home, you could count on the fingers of your one hand, not two, one hand how many masajid you're making khatm of the Quran. 20 years later, 30 years later, you can count on the fingers of your one hand how many masajid you're now not making khatm of the Quran. Today it's become such, we don't even find place to make tarawih in the masjid any longer. We don't find place. There are so many youth now have completed the Quran and such a lot of interest, such a lot of shauk to read Quran. Alhamdulillah, it has spread. And then those of us that don't find the opportunity there anymore, you make your own tarawih and now you know, you don't have to do just 1.25 Jews anymore. I was in Jalalabad as a student, I spent Ramadan there, and our senior colleague, Mufti Ibrahim Saliji, came, he spent the time there. So tarawih in the masjid goes as normal. He tells me, come you with me in the room, we read 3 Jews a night. So myself and him, Hafizatul Rahman students, let the tarawih go on, we'll do in the room. I must stand behind, I give look, my head is the tarawih. And having learned that from them, I'm sure, and I've heard from many of the students, the ex-students, that let the tarawih in the masjid go. In the masjid, in the musalla, in the home somewhere, we'll make tarawih every 10 days, every few days, a khatm of the Quran is made. That's all part of that energy that Hafizah Rahmatullah Alayhi had put into all of us. You know, Ramadan comes, it's almost like you feel compelled. There's something within you that says, now I put everything else aside. Work aside, this aside, that aside. This is the month of the Quran. Because we spent it in the company of a person who was a living exemplar of love of the Quran. Hazrat Hafizah Rahmatullah Alayhi's maqam in tasawwuf was very high. But we didn't know it. We were little kids sitting there, reading sabak, reading door, now and then having to be disciplined for things as well. We didn't understand the caliber of the person in whose company we were so fortunate to have sat. Years later, a little bit, little by little, aspects of that would reveal itself. But there are certain aspects of tasawwuf that he made part of his tarbiyah and teaching, without us even realizing it. Aspects of it that would normally be regarded as part and parcel of tarbiyah and tazkiyah, he made it part of his tahfiz, of teaching people. It wasn't just a matter of teaching you hifz. No, your character would be molded in ways which you understand sometimes, most of the time that you did not even understand. I saw someone wrote a biography and he said, no, Hazrat Hafizah Rahmatullah Ali, you know, me Aswam back then, people used to get a lot of hiding. Hafizah, no, we got hiding as well. Alhamdulillah, we got that hiding. But never was a hiding given with an intention to harm or to hurt. You would come back many years later, now you're adult, graduated, everything. Which teacher does this? And then he asks you, please forgive me for hiding the tattoo. Which teacher does something like that? Doesn't remind you of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Having hurt someone, not even by his intention, he says, here, open myself, come take your revenge on me. Hazrat Hafizah used to say, please forgive me. And you know, that's the moment, yes, tears come in our eyes. He said, how could we ever, you made insan out of us. That's what made us insan. If we have reached anywhere today, it's by Hazrat's du'as, not by anything else. So he made that part and parcel of it. There were aspects of it. Sometimes your akhlaq, sometimes your... But these little wazaif, we became used to reading certain wazaif after Fajr Salah, after Maghrib Salah. These things we thought is just part of the curriculum. You just go on with it. All of that is part of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned the Sahaba from a generation of idol worshippers into khayr ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Hafizah rahmatullahi alayhi had a great liking for adhkar, but not just any type of adhkar. Adhkar from the sunnah. In his house there would be a copy of Amrul Yawm wal Layla of Ibn Sunni. He would extract adhkar from there in the book that he had compiled over the years on those adhkar. The extracts would be there. Not just the fawaid of the adhkar, which kitab of hadith it comes from. He had a great love for all of that. So tasawwuf is not just a matter of, you know, reading anywhere the end and there, connecting back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time. And it was not just a matter of teaching hifz of the Quran. He was a phenomenon of pedagogy, a phenomenon of education in so many different ways. You complete your Quran, you stayed. After that, you didn't stop. Now you start doing what? A few other languages. Can you imagine one person teaching so many people? At the same time, I studied under him. At the same time, 4 languages at the same time. Today in our schools, 2 languages we need to teach. He taught 4 languages at the same time. You have to do Urdu, you have to do Farsi. There are many that sit here that can still remember Amdan, Ana, Mazdar, Ahmad, Aya, Mazi, Mutlaq, and so on. You have to Urdu, Farsi, Gujarati as well, and my basic Arabic started to Hafizah Rahmatullah Alayhi, Miftahul Quran, who teaches 4 languages, and each of these languages from a different language family. All of them took the four languages in addition. We South Africans tend to be bilingual already. There's English, there's Afrikaans, often another language. But then he teaches four languages, and in one class. It's not like first this period and that period, all of them at the same time. Alhamdulillah, today istifta'at come to us from all over the world. People want to know, what does the Shafi'i madhab say on this? What people often don't realize is that my first kitab that I read in Shafi'i fiqh was read to Hafiz Abdul Rahman, rahmatullah. Not one, three different kitabs in Urdu in Shafi'i fiqh. The Tuhfat al-Ikhwan that my late father, rahmatullah, translated, I read it in Urdu from beginning up to end to Hafiz Abdul rahmatullah alayhi. So even that fiqh was from there, Arabic came from there, Urdu was from there. If today we are able to read 60-70% and understand a Farsi, it came from Hafiz Abu Rahmatullah Ali. A phenomenon of pedagogy. Where do you find teachers that do all of that? But Allah Ta'ala had given him that barakah in his time. Allah Ta'ala had given such great barakah in his time that he was able to give us all of that. And then as you get older and you come visit him from time to time, he would give you advices. Many of those are very private. He gives to a person that's meant for you and for you alone. But you know, when the time came that Mulsab had to leave me as from, he told me this himself, that he made istikhara for a long time. He made istikhara. And the last Ramadan that he was on me as from, he says, 3 days in a row he made istikhara and he had the same dream. 3 days in a row he had the same dream. And then he tells me, Maine khud us kitabir ki. I made the interpretation of the dream myself, he says. He saw three lights going to the sky, dispersing in three different directions. So this was a sign that he would leave. But not only himself, he said, he would go, he and two of his students, different parts of the country, they will go and establish institutions. He says, one is this where we are right now, with the Khanqah and the Madrasa, everything was it. This was the one. The other was Madrasa Ta'limuddin of Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Saleh, Hafizahullah, and the other was our Madrasa in Cape Town as well. He included us in there because I think I was about 13 or 14 years old. One night after Maghrib, sitting in the Urdu class, reading. And suddenly out of the blue he tells me, you have to go back to Cape Town and start a madrasa. I had no intention of starting anything. I had no intention. All we wanted, just complete quickly and go home. Life goes on. Eventually I had to stay in for a long time. But you see, when the wali of Allah Ta'ala places his sights upon you, and then he raises his hands to Allah Ta'ala, your life is then charted. The cause of it is charted out. You don't have a choice anymore. You become the instrument of what Allah Ta'ala has inspired him. None of that, the credit doesn't accrue to any of us. Whatever is happening, he has made the dua for it. And it continues up to the present day. You know, how much time? A few more minutes. So he would even intervene in ways, you know, from the ghaib. Starting the madrasa, there was never any intention. You know, what do you earn? Not so much to be able to ever earn own a house. And lived in a rental house all these years. And but as it would be, the family, the wife from time to time starts saying that, you know, well, that we could have rather bought our own house by this time. We could have put it down for a down payment. And then say, look, leave it. This is the way it's going to be. One morning, the wife wakes up and tells me, I had a dream. I say, what? I saw Hafiz Abdul Rahman, rahmatullahi alayhi. So I said, how did he know it's Hafiz Abdul Rahman? I said, I just knew it was him. And so I said, what did he say? She says, he asked me, why are you troubling him for a house? Why are you troubling him for a house? You want to have a house? Come, I show you your house. And he showed her a beautiful mansion. Say, this is your house. Now don't trouble him for a house. He's left this dunya already. He's still caring for us to make sure that the path that he put us on, we must fulfill, that nothing must come in between. But as it would be, wives are like that. So I said, you know, alhamdulillah, so there, we got a house. She says, no, no, no. He said, it's my house, not your house. So in so many different ways, Hafizah rahmatullahi alayhi had intervened in our lives to make sure things go to their fulfillment. Because all of this is part of what, that bigger picture. That bigger picture is that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a mission. The fulfillment of that mission depends upon that there should be men who together with the institution of this deen carry it forth from age to age, from region to region. Nothing should come in between that should stop it. Allah Ta'ala chooses for that whom He wants to. They will take those of us, as much as we don't deserve it, well, you become part of this group here, you've got to fulfill this particular function. And then you've got no choice, but it's our good fortune. Therefore, we say, the last few lines of that poem is, عند افتخار الحفاظ بأساتيذهم وقولهم هؤلاء هم أئمتنا. There are many حفاظ, and there are many great teachers. Alhamdulillah, Allah has placed many great teachers. But when people, you know, mention with pride that these are our asatidha, and you know, they take pride, I'm a student of fulan, I'm a student of fulan. قلنا هنيئاً لكم على أساتذكم. You know, best of luck for you with your asatidha. Allah Ta'ala give you all khair barakah. Abdul Rahman ibn Ibrahim qudwatuna. Our role model is Hafiz Abdul Rahman ibn Ibrahim rahmatullahi alayhi. All good tidings to you, all blessings to you, but our ustad is Hafiz Abdul Rahman rahmatullahi alayhi. Laqad sa'idna bihi. It was our good fortune to have been his students. Faj'alhu ya Rabbana ala ru'usil khala'iqi sa'idan bina. Ya Allah, we were fortunate to have been his students, so we ask you on the day of Qiyamah, make him happy to see what has become of us. Make him happy, give him the blessing to be able to say that these are his students. وَقُلْ لَهُ رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ وَرْقَ بِهِ. And say to him, as the hadith says, that يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ. On the day of Qiyamah, it will be said to a صاحب القرآن, a man of the Qur'an. And have you ever known a صاحب القرآن? Like Hafiz Abdul Rahman rahmatullah alayhi. وَقُلْ لَهُ رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنِ. Say to him, ya Allah, read the Qur'an, وَرْقَ بِهِ, and raise in stature, إِلَىٰ عَوَالِ الْجِنَانِ لِتَنَالَ الْمُنَى. To the highest levels of Jannah, to there find your heart's desire. That is our dua. Our Ustaz rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and hidayah to always be mindful of his legacy, to take lessons from that wonderful inspirational life. It is something that we can speak and speak and speak about without getting tired. These are a few thoughts that I've thought to share with yourself. And وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
Jazakum Allah khairan to Mawlana Taha Sahab for those most beautiful words encapsulated in the poetic form. May Allah Ta'ala grant us sincere muhabbat, and very important, and the maqsad of these gatherings to talk about the saliheen and their achievements. On such gatherings descends the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, but of extreme importance is the qualities that we have heard of, that inspires us to imbibe those qualities, and we go away from those gatherings, inshallah, inspired that what was I before, those of us who had the extreme honor of interaction with Hazrat in whatever form it may have been, but to continue that legacy. This is the maqsad, and the objective is to inculcate those qualities and to continue the legacy. So in line with Hazrat's profound love and muhabbat for Quran Karim, inshallah Quran Sharif will be recited now, a means of instilling this muhabbat and love that we leave. As our Ustad would always emphasize, whatever you do, we do for the love, the pleasure, the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. That the Qur'an Kareem permeates our entire bodies, our flesh, our blood, love for the Qur'an Azim. While reading, we also make the niyyah thereafter, inshallah, that Allah Ta'ala accepts from us and passes the reward on to our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and the entire ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the marhumin, and to the entire ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah. We'll read the Qur'an for a while now, until about 6:05. Thereafter, a short dua will take place. Time will be given if one has to get ready for Maghrib, because there will be talks between Maghrib and Isha, and a short talk after Isha as well, inshallah.